Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Odyssey Station. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Welcome in, everyone. It's Dom time. So I just saw on CBS this morning, guy who Dan tells me, and I remember the name, but not exactly. I know he was a top bureaucrat in our medical system. His name is Andy Slavitt. He's now out with a new book, CBS this morning, Leadership Failures in COVID Response. And Dan, he was what again? Medicare, Medicaid, 2015 to 17.
Yeah, he was in charge of Center for Medicare and Medicaid from March of 15 to January of 17. And he's also a Biden White House senior advisor for the COVID response.
Okay. Now, here's his premise, Dan, and I want you to get this guy on. And I usually with a guest after a couple of go rounds, right out of the box, I have to get into it with this guy. I'm looking at two clips from CBS this morning on Gravy and Dan, and he's saying what we need to do, because there will be another pandemic, that's nice to know, or epidemic or something like that. We need to realize we emphasize too much our individual liberties, okay? We're not emphasizing the common good enough in dealing with this. Now, I know there are a lot of people listening that think, we did sacrifice during this. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, Dan, with the sacrifice of maybe what the Brits did during World War II or what Americans did during World War II to win, I would say what we did during the pandemic is not at that level. So far, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. But I would say we're between an 8 and a 9. And think of the sacrifice. I'm looking at a major report out today. 40% of small businesses nationwide are kaput. They're no longer there. 40% we lost because these progressive governors like Wolfman Hack, they said the Walmarts, Costcos, and all these others, remember all that? They're essential. And they could withstand it. You know, they're major companies. They roll back. But they were able to keep going somewhat during the pandemic. Maybe they even prospered, some of them. But what about those small businesses? That's a heck of a sacrifice, okay? Now, I'm not saying that everybody was willing to sacrifice the mask issue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at least early on, as long as they followed the science when we were trying to flatten the curve, I think Americans did sacrifice. And many Americans continue to sacrifice throughout this. This guy's the first one out, though, with a major book, saying that I think we'll put the money into public health. I think we've woken up a bit. Maybe awaken might be better. I think our experience with the pandemic will hopefully allow us to respond better. But a divided country with leaders that play against our greatest fears, which divide us, and if we deny science, we're going to have trouble again. Well, he's talking about Trump and Trump supporters and all that, not Dr. Fauci, not giving us the true science because of his own calculation. We couldn't handle it, or he wanted to do something else. So, Dan, where would you put our level in response to Slavitt of people pitching in and ignoring individual liberties for a time to stop this? I put it at about an 8.5.
I think that's a fair number. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's certainly not World War II sacrifice. It's not sacrifice like the Brits during the Blitz. You know, it's not the sacrifice of the Russians in Stalingrad. Nothing could be, I guess, like that. But given everything, for a good period of time, people did do this. So this is the rear guard action. This guy's got a book, and what he's saying is too many people just were unwilling to do this. Quote, Americans should de-emphasize our individual liberties for the next pandemic. COVID wouldn't have hit us as hard if Americans sacrificed more. Well, technically, that's true, you know, that we could always do more, but putting it into the scale of things, of life moving forward, you could say that about anything. And I wonder what this guy sacrificed or didn't sacrifice. But out with a new book right away. CBS, this early morning CBS show is just murderous what they put out. I'm looking at this, wasn't challenged much at all. They seem to be on board with that. How about you? 855-839-1210. And if you're out there, you deliver stuff, you do something where you know, driving today, tell me, wherever you might be, where's the best number of flags? Dan, how about you coming through Port Richmond today? Did you see any or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always them out flying in Port Richmond.
Yeah, I think Bridesburg, their parade, I think it's Bridesburg, a little bit more than Port Richmond, but they're similar. These are places where you expect to see that. Center City, I don't think you're going to see much of that at all, almost ever. Maybe a little bit on July 4th because it's a major downtown celebration, but Flag Day is a day that doesn't get enough recognition. Boy, I say that myself. Am I right? I forgot about this. June 12th is Electoral College today. That's the day, was it 1801, they finally agreed on the Electoral College, unified. What was it, 12th Amendment? I got to look that up myself. Usually I celebrate that every year, because that's the one thing standing between us and just the mob overriding everything. 855-839-1210. So, all right, here's a cut. Which one is it, Dan? Is he with a woman or a male?
He's talking about how Americans should de-emphasize our individual liberties for the next pandemic.
Okay, here's this Andy Slavitt character. Here's what he said on CBS this morning.
Andy, in terms of what may happen in the future, do you think that we are ready for another pandemic, which inevitably is going to come and affect us?
I don't think we are. And I don't think we are for a couple reasons. One is, I think we need to have a dialogue in this country about what matters. Is it more important for us to have our individual liberties, that we don't wear a mask? Or is there some common good that we should all be working towards? I think we'll do a better job technically. I think we will put the money into public health that we need. I think we'll have woken up a little bit. I also think our experience with the pandemic will hopefully allow us to respond better. But a divided country with leaders that play against our greatest fears, which divide us, and if we deny science, we're going to have trouble again. So hopefully we'll learn some of those lessons.
All right. Then he went on to say COVID wouldn't have hit us as hard if Americans sacrificed a little bit more. Now, you know what he's referencing there. They don't ever follow up on anything. They just let people come on that CBS this morning, say anything. No gravity. Okay, move on. How about challenging that a little bit? How about saying, well, specifically, who are you talking about? What is the particular instance? They're talking about Trump in this. Now, people still wore masks. That didn't stop until recently. Dan, I was in a Giant Again shopping on Saturday. I still would say over in Montgomery County, it was about 80% of people that had masks on.
Did you see Marty?
Yes. Did Marty have a mask on? I don't remember. No, Marty was standing at the end of one aisle saying, you know, something about don't move, serious spillage here. And I'm looking, there's nothing. Can you imagine being driven by stupid Marty all day long saying, spill in aisle six and there's nothing there? You know, there's a can that's a little bit different. Just endless. Poor people have to deal with that. All right, so 855-839-1210. All right, here is the other Andy Slavitt telling us it wouldn't. Now, this is with the guy, the real dope on that show. The guy last week who let Ibrahim Kendi say that slavery is not taught in schools. Let's see if there's any challenge here. Here's this Andy Slavitt again.
My co-host this morning, Adriana Diaz, suggested a far simpler one. The book is called Preventable. How much of this pandemic was preventable and how?
Well, of course, we would have had a pandemic here in the U.S. no matter what. And look, we can count the mistakes, and I think it's important that we do, if for nothing else, so we don't repeat them. We obviously had a set of technical mistakes with the testing and the PPE that we know about. But if we're honest, we also had two other types of mistakes that caused a lot of loss of life. One were just plainly political leadership mistakes. There was a lot. We denied the virus for too long out of the Trump White House. There was too much squashing of dissent and playing on divisions. But I'd also think we all need to look at one another and ask ourselves, what do we need to do better next time? And in many respects, being able to sacrifice a little bit for one another to get through this and to save more lives is going to be essential. And that's something that I think we could all have done a little bit better on.
So when we...
Yeah, well, let's drill down on that. Can we have examples? Can we get into something? Do they do any of that on the show? So I'm asking you. I told you where I peg this. Is he right? Now, part of the problem is when you have the science being all over the place, when you see that White House media corps just wanting to go after Trump, then it's going to provoke a lot of this stuff.
I'm so annoyed with this, Dom, because there's no mention of, it was a troublesome situation, right?
Yes.
Absolutely no mention of Operation Warp Speed. Which is something right. That would not have happened if Trump wasn't there. If Biden was there leading things during this pandemic, there could be a very real possibility that we still don't have a vaccine to this day.
I was thinking about that, Dan, the other day, because when I was in the radio station, you know, it was cramped quarters there at one point. The engineer had a mask on. I'm talking real cramped quarters. And yeah. I'm thinking, thank God for Operation Warp Speed. Because due to that, you feel better about this whole situation. Yes. And that's just not talked about. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to lead more people to considering, if you don't put Trump's fingerprints on it, getting vaccinated.
It's crazy to me, the hypocrisy. This is the same network that will complain about the economy situation, then say right. Republicans were being irresponsible, and yet still, and then they're going to, I'm sorry, Dom.
What bothers me the most are the people that are on this, not even challenging, but getting follow-up, drilling down, letting that Kendi character the other day say that college students tell them all the time they were not taught about slavery. Just a flat-out exaggeration lie. Lie, lie, lie. There's no school that's not, and by the way, over the weekend on Saturday across the country, here's the Washington Post headline. I'll get into it coming up. Teachers across the country protested laws restricting lessons on racism. We're not protesting that. We are protesting you and the racism that is being taught. It's just endless. So let's smoke them out. Good. Let's see what teachers. We have the Randolph Township, which is more in Morris County, New Jersey. They've gotten rid of all holidays on their school calendar. The reason they said is they didn't want to offend anybody by putting them on. Some people don't celebrate. Some people don't have it. Even Christmas and Thanksgiving. They just put day off on their calendar. Now, every one of them in that school board, et cetera, every one of them has to be. That's the one silver lining out of this. Over the weekend, one of those districts, and I've asked Dan to get someone on, Loudoun, they elected new school board members, the one that was really in Virginia wild and out of control. I think four new members were elected. They voted out the people that had done some of this. That's the silver lining. Come November, that Radnor school board is one I'll be looking to see. How many of them are voted out? But across the area, there's your opportunity. You can't complain if you don't show up and vote in that. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Love to hear from you. Where would you place it as far as sacrifice? You know, wearing the mask and doing all that was a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice, though, like World War II or the Blitz. You know, those are beyond that. But it was a sacrifice. It's more than just inconvenience. There were a lot of sacrifices that people made, including 40%, Andy Slavitt, something you would know nothing about, of small businesses are gone. How about that sacrifice? That is a huge sacrifice. All right, side question of the day, first world problem. And if you're the winner today, we're sending you off to Frankie Valli for a great night in Atlantic City on August 13th.
Radio.com is now Odyssey. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app and listen at 1210 WPHD.
Good Monday, everyone. You're with Dom and Dan here at 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say the sacrifice level? You don't want to say for America? Just say for yourself. And if you were in small business, it was a heck of a sacrifice, just merely surviving. And a lot of it, we know now, was unnecessary. Look at Florida. Look at any number of places that succeeded. 855-839-1210. All right. I mentioned this Randolph Township,
I guess it is. Ghost Pirate just wrote an interesting tweet your way.
Yes.
I just want to get your thoughts on this. Talking about sacrifices, yeah, on face value, the personal, you know, pull, for some people it wasn't very sacrificial. But the argument he makes, or she, is we sacrificed our president, our electoral process, our businesses, and our liberty for this pandemic, saying that we've sacrificed a lot. Would you agree with it in that sense?
Well, let's go through. The economy, definitely huge sacrifice, and our electoral process by this stupid mail-in voting, yes, that's a huge sacrifice. I still believe just show up and vote, and we'll stop all this nonsense and the perception of stolen elections, etc. So, yeah, that was sacrificed, without a doubt. That sacrifice. And again, the mask wearing and all the rest. Yeah, annoying, I get it, etc., etc. But, yes, that's why I put it at about 8.5, Dan. Maybe some people have it higher. I wouldn't go nuts because you got to use a standard to compare it to. When you compare it to the sacrifice of World War II, something like that, no, it's not that. And this guy's saying we got to get this right for the next time. Yeah, we got to get him on. He's in a bubble. He's in this little elitist bubble there, lecturing the rest of us in order to go after Trump voters. What did the elites sacrifice like this guy? You know, if we get him on, I'll ask that question. What was your personal sacrifice in this? What do you think he'd say? I don't know that. No, he's
his
out there.
His driver couldn't come to work one day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think he's out there just using this and weaponizing it. And I'm telling you, you talk about low-rent journalism, this CBS this morning. They don't even attempt. I can't get over last week. And it made news throughout the weekend. They let Ibrahim Kendi, he's the main critical race theory guy that made the most money off this. So, yeah, college students tell him all the time, I was never taught about slavery. That is just one of the most remarkable things that you could imagine. All right, so here is this Randolph Township explanation. They're in Jersey, Morris County. They don't have, or they're on the school calendar now. It's kind of like over in, Upper Darby, where Good Friday is no longer there. It just says holiday by Barbara Burr, whatever Keller her name is over there. But here is the breakdown of what they did in Randolph Township.
Last month, the Randolph, New Jersey Board of Education voted to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day on its calendar of school holidays, a decision that upset many. Andre DeMina was executive board member of the Italian-American One Voice Coalition.
They said that they know that a number of other places were changing it because of the questionable background of Columbus, which we believe is totally based on false lies and false accusations. But that's why they changed it to Indigenous Peoples Day. We've got nothing against Indigenous people, and they should be celebrated. Just don't take away Columbus Day.
At the board's follow-up meeting Thursday night on the Columbus Day change, it then decided to remove the names of all holidays from the school calendar and refer to the day as school closed, prompting some in attendance to walk out of the meeting.
So now, instead of just insulting Italian Americans by removing Columbus Day, they've removed all the other holidays like Martin Luther King Day, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and all the other holidays are now voted out.
In a statement to Fox 5, the board said after careful consideration of concerns introduced by both proponents of the change as well as those in opposition to the change, a motion was presented for consideration to stop using holiday titles on the district's calendar. We agree unanimously that the change would be both inclusive and equitable. Not all at Thursday's meeting were opposed to the change.
No one is deleting Columbus from the curriculum. We can acknowledge why we stand on this soil without putting the people who stole it on a pedestal.
This is reaction to the change we got Friday afternoon.
I don't know why they think they can all of a sudden change what's been for years and years. Like, people celebrate, it's important.
I think that's insane. I really do. That is really taking away our histories.
It's our history. I mean, I hate to see it all go down the drain, but it's a day, I guess, if you want to look at it that way.
Now, a Board of Education spokesperson told us that although the holiday titles will be changing on the calendar, educating the students about the importance and the meanings behind these holidays will remain a part of the curriculum. Reporting from the township of Randolph, Antoine Lewis, Fox 5 News.
Now, this is progressivism. Everybody will be miserable. That way, it will be fair. Look, if they want to change it to Indigenous people, that's fine, and not Columbus, then take the heat on it. You might have a school board election. That's fine. I support that. Just stand behind what you do. But in what universe do they think we'll avoid everything by taking everything off? I mean, in the world of preposterism, what will they think of next? There you go. School closed. So it's as much school closed if there's a, you know, no water in the building that day for some reason, and Christmas or Thanksgiving, not on the school calendar. Well, we'll still tell the kids about it. We're just not putting it on the calendar. The logic or lack of, that's why these school board elections, I am just waiting for November to see across the country this has gone on, to knock these people out of there. You see what's happened too long. People have paid attention to things like just the presidential race and on we go. And these insidious little weasels have gotten in there. Can you imagine them coming together and saying, yeah, that's what we'll do. No one will be mad then. We'll take away all holiday mentions on the school calendar. We have it in Upper Darby. They have off the sanitation, whatever, on Good Friday. There's no pickup. Remember, we talked about that? And they just call it holiday. Yeah, that's a holiday. What day? Just a holiday. Don't you dare say Good Friday. All right, so right here, you see this type of battle. And the left wants those names or doesn't want those names on there. All right, let's go to Dan. He's next in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dan, welcome in. So I asked about flags out there. Where are you and what did you see?
Boyertown, Pennsylvania, on the cusp of Berks and Montgomery County.
Yes.
The streets are lined. The planters are lined with flags. The businesses, the homeowners, the churches all have their flags out.
Wow, it doesn't surprise me, Boyertown. Now, that's why it's so strange that the school board over in Boyertown, Dan, was one of those where they said that males can dress in female locker rooms and all the rest of you remember.
I do remember that, yes. I'm on my way to Lancaster. I'll probably be seeing a lot of flags and a lot of Trump signs still as well.
I got you. Thank you for that citing.
I do have a first world problem.
Okay.
It is Chick-fil-A closed on a Sunday.
That is beautifully put.
Yes.
All right, the committee likes
it. I rarely go to Chick-fil-A, but when I do, there's always a line. And it seems when I'm always hungry for Chick-fil-A, it's a Sunday. I'm like, oh, there's another line.
So true. So true.
Beautifully played. All right, that's one of the front runners. Why are they closed on Sunday? Oh, God, yes. what was it, Wendy's running spot saying, hey, we're not closed on Sunday either, taking a shot at Chick-fil-A. Come on. All right, good stuff. So Boyertown is well represented. We believe Port Richmond, Bridesburg. Where are you seeing any number of flags on Flag Day? You know, July 4th is one thing. But seeing it on Flag Day, it's a day that I don't think is talked about in school. Betsy Ross is right here, right?
And what's the situation down in South Philly?
I would say meds and meds. You know, I think certain areas of South Philly, you'll see it. Others, not so much. So we need our intrepid South Philly people to tell us down there on a scale, you know, how do they see it? I'm trying to think. Toward, like, Shunk and Rittner and going toward that way, you know, the southmost part of it, Packer Park, Dan, where the Gravy Seals are from, I think you'll see a pretty fair number of them. But in other parts, not so much. And in Center City, you know, I wonder about the city of Philadelphia. I wonder if they're doing anything ceremonial today on Flag Day. Burning them. That's right. Yes. All right. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Tom in Doylestown's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Tom. Good morning.
Hey, Tom. So I don't think this beats Chick-fil-A. I got to give the guy credit for that. But
okay.
First world problem involving golf. I know you play. So it's about 6 years ago. My son, who's like 18 or 19 at the time, he qualifies for the club championship at the club where I belong. It's kind of a big deal because the only eight guys qualify, and you have to qualify from our tips, which is like 7,200 yards. So
Whoa!
So he's all excited, and I'm happy for him. Well, a couple of days before the matches are to begin, his game just goes sideways on him. So, you know, anyone who plays golf knows it happens. So he's all worried about it. He's thinking he's going to go out and make a fool of himself. So I pulled him aside and I said, look, your biggest problem in life right now is you're going to go to the country club and you might play a bad game of golf. That's not a bad spot to be.
Yeah. How did he play?
Oh, he got crushed.
wait a minute, though. But if he shanks a ball off the first tee, you know, that's kind of difficult.
He didn't have the shanks. But
All right, that's it. See, the shanks is not a first world problem. That's a real problem. You got the shanks or the yips.
Is that a real problem for you, Dom, the shanks?
You don't even want to say that word.
I know. You know what? The S word. You're right, Tom. I broke the code here. See, Dan's a non-golfer, and he's jumping on that. Don't say that word again. That is a really good one, and it's a great piece of advice, Dan. It's embarrassing. You know, you have to tee off like that. You know you're not playing well. Not good.
The word I could go without hearing again is the meter that you do the green with. What's that called? The
stint meter, I think it is.
Yeah.
That's
disgusting.
855-839-1210. Al and Dom, really in a large way, the hope of where Philadelphia is going to go, councilman at large, the condo king. He'll be here at 1045 today. He was one of the people closing up all these loopholes on the dirt biker. Dan, can you imagine a dune buggy doing tricks running down Broad Street?
Well, I don't have to imagine it. I've seen it before.
Yeah, 500 of these characters. What does he have to say about this outrage again over the weekend where they called out the Philadelphia police and said, yeah, you passed the law? There's 500 of us rolling through here. Nothing happened. No arrest. Nobody. Other than the one guy shot in the face and dead now. 855-839-1210. Keep the calls coming with Dom on Talk Radio 1210.
Whether we're talking market or Main Street, we've got you covered. The Dom Giordano Program. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All right, good Monday, everyone. Side question of the day. Actually got a like from Dr. Marty McCary. Wow. One of our biggies from Johns Hopkins. Wonder what he would say is a first world problem. He didn't put a reply down, but I just did see that. All right, 855-839-1210. Here's a good one on Twitter. Staring into a refrigerator full of food, and there's nothing in there that you're the mood.
Oh, yeah.
For. That's it.
Yeah.
But I do think, Dan, it's not a first world problem, really. The traffic on Long Island. Look, I accept New York coming there. That George Washington Bridge is absolutely the worst I've ever. But I thought, see, I'm always the optimist, maybe too optimistic. We were going to go and spend time in New York after broadcasting from Hofstra on Friday and after the Bloviators convention and all that. And then Roe informs me it's 2 hours to get into New York just from where we were on Long Island. I don't think it was 25, 28 miles.
Take the subway.
2 hours. What subway? You're out there in Hofstra. Yeah. So it's a heck of a subway. So we still went through Manhattan to get the Lincoln Tunnel. And I would say this. The traffic in New York, the cars, buses, all those bus lanes, the obnoxious, is every bit as intense as I ever remember it. But there were not a lot of people walking on the streets. And it appeared to be, I'm not saying they were closed, but we were like 34th Street, major, you know, and 5th Avenue. A lot of them were dark. And this was only like 4:30 or so, I guess, 4:15 on a Friday night.
So I'm looking here, Dom, to see if you could have taken public transport.
Right.
If you take the E subway to the Hempstead train, there's
yes.
a connection there, you could get there. The thing is, it's an hour and 45 minutes to do that as well.
What the heck is going on? It's not that far. I don't think. I felt as if we were in the wheel. And the traffic in Long Island was every bit on all those parkways and throughways and all that. It was every bit as intense, and every bit as intense on Long Island as New York. I don't know. I thought it was kind of like the suburbs. It would be more relaxed. So complaining about the Schuylkill Expressway, I will not do that for a month or two after remembering that. It's just hard to believe.
I'm going to hold you to that one.
Do people just get used to that every day, though, where they are, that they just – and it's stop, start, you know? I mean, it is very, very tiring. To put it
so how do you commute to Manhattan if you're coming from middle of Long Island? You just plan for
I
an
guess
hour
you
and
gotta,
a half?
Yeah, I guess you got to, yeah. Think
what's the point of living on Long Island? I thought it was to be close to Manhattan for, you know,
right.
to work in the city.
Yes, exactly right. So it's not like you're 100 miles away. It's, you know, relatively close. Now, we're going to, there are things, we're going to take the train the next time we go up. We're not going to do any of that. I don't know. I haven't looked at Hofstra again. Possibility of doing that, but nice little campus with a highway going through, I mean a major highway going right down the middle of it, though. You have the south side and north side, and they have two giant walkways over it, Dan. That's it. Oof. There are traffic lights, but I don't know what I would say it's like. People are going 50. That's the campus. Ooh. Yes. Wow. Very difficult. The radio station did have a nice antenna right out in front of it, though. Cute little antenna. So, and Joe Sebelia is a god there. Big picture of him. You know Joe Sebelia?
Several people. There's a portrait on the wall.
Yeah. Several people said that, you know Joe Sebelia. Wow, he's big. Guy's good. Amazing. Little did we know when he was here. All right, let's go to, let's get a couple more now before Alan Dom joins us. Let's go to Phil. What is a first world problem? Hey, Phil, what's yours?
My first world problem is, you were talking about it last week, pizza.
Okay.
Pizzerias that use skim milk mozzarella create so much oil on their pizza instead of using whole milk. And that is my biggest problem. But my other problem is, and it's a worldwide problem, is Joe Biden.
Yes, that's not a first world. That's a universal problem.
It's a literal first world problem.
Yes,
right?
I love it though. Skim milk messing up the pizza versus the whole milk. That is granular. That is very, very good. Now, one other thing to clear up too, Dan. See, I wasn't taking any chances on this trip. You and Bill mocking me. We did have Siri, and we did have the female voice on Garmin on.
The double-powered GPS.
The double thing. And Siri was superior, since Roe was operating that. We didn't miss a turn. We didn't do anything. And we got there, and it still took 4 hours. It was just – and I, you know, I may have evaded the speed limit a few times to make up for time, and still, that's how long it took.
Did you take the GW to get over there?
Yes.
Should have taken the Verrazano.
Ah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
I didn't know that. That's not what both said. They yeah. both said.
Well, it's a little bit out of the way. I don't know what it would have done for traffic, but that's,
oh,
that's the way I would go.
And we weren't going on rush hour or whatever. Well, the world seems to be. I mean, 2:30, we were traveling back on Friday, and it seemed to be rush hour for the last 3 hours. They just continue to more
rush
it to
the end. Yep.
Nonstop rush hour. Yeah. Okay, we'll take more of those coming up. Alan Dom, Councilman at Large in Philadelphia, the condo king, and he's the guy, Alan, who's one of the architects of trying to stop these dirt bike ATV fanatics, and yet may not have been successful over the weekend. He's next here.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.